All righty. Good evening, everyone. My name is Julie Fedorchak. I'm the chairman of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are gathered in the 12th floor of the Capitol and online to have a public input session on a rate increase proposal for Xcel Energy. And I am not the portfolio holder. My colleague, Commissioner Crosius, is. So after brief opening comments by myself and my other colleague, Commissioner Randy Christman, we'll kick it over to Brian to run the show here tonight. We're hoping to get a good amount of public input so we can hear from the constituents, the ratepayers, what your concerns are, and what you might like us to drill down on this rate case or keep in mind as we review the company's proposal for this rate increase. With that, I don't have any other comments. I will turn it over to Commissioner Christman, see if he does.
Well, I'll just say I think you make a good point that maybe we glossed over in the earlier input session. You know, sometimes there's probably not a lot of people that want their rates to go up, and so we understand that. But in these public input sessions, what can often happen is someone brings up some good points, and then us and our staff are able to drill down on that further in the time between now and when the actual hearing occurs, and then explore it more there. And so that is really the real value here is learning impacts and things that we might not otherwise dig into deeply enough.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman. Okay, with that, we'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Crosius, and you can lead us through this.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a public input session. It's case number PU-20-441. As mentioned, Northern States Power, a part of Xcel Energy. They brought a rate case in front of the commission, presented that to us on November 6th, 2020, which the company can do. The company, as a regulated utility, has the right to bring a case in front of the commission. The commission can also initiate a case if we so choose, but in this instance, the company was the one who brought it before us. As mentioned very well, this is a really important part of the process. And the process really began literally the day that we received the rate case from the company. Staff has been reviewing the case extensively since it arrived. The commissioners have as well. And we've also received quite a bit of public input through email, telephone calls. We review those comments and thoughts as well and take all very seriously. So we certainly do appreciate hearing from the public. That's what this is all about. We did have a session earlier today. That was at noon. It began, and so we opened up the phone lines, et cetera, for that. And as a part of this process, the company will spend about 20 minutes, if I remember correctly from the earlier session, about 20 minutes presenting their case. Company representatives Tony Grinberg and Dave Cedarquist are here. So we'll hear what they have to say, or more importantly, the public will. And then following that portion, then we will open up the phone lines. You can call ahead of time. You can call 328-4081, and that would be area code 701. But 328-4081 will take your information. At the conclusion of the company's presentation, we'll reach back out to you to hear your thoughts. And then also, if you are on one of the phone lines, you can dial *9 when we get to that portion. We'll see that you wish to provide some input, and then we'll get you plugged in to the process. And again, really look forward to hearing what members of the public have to say. With that, I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Grinberg. I believe you're going to begin, if I remember the order last time correctly.
That's correct. Good evening, commissioners, and thank you, Commissioner Crosius. I am Tony Grinberg, North Dakota Principal Manager for Xcel Energy. With me this evening is my colleague, Dave Cedarquist, and together we will tag team the next few minutes of our presentation, where I'd like to provide a brief overview of the electric request we have pending before the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Before I begin, let me say that while we never like to see energy rates rise, Xcel Energy remains committed to providing reliable, safe, and environmentally friendly electricity to all of its North Dakota customers. Our rate case proposal supports Xcel Energy's ongoing efforts to keep delivering the kind of service our customers have come to expect. And we can do that if we keep our focus on the following three things: strengthening and modernizing our energy infrastructure, keeping energy prices at or near the rate of inflation, and third, being a responsible corporate citizen engaged in the communities we serve. Xcel Energy serves 3.7 million electric customers and 2.1 million natural gas customers in North Dakota and seven other U.S. states. The company is comprised of just under 12,000 employees working within four different operating companies. These companies are headquartered in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Colorado, and Texas. Operating company Northern States Power, Minnesota, serves customers in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota. Closer to home, we serve 38 North Dakota communities near our service centers in Fargo, Grand Forks, and Minot. We provide electricity to about 95,000 electric customers in four of the five largest cities in North Dakota. We also provide natural gas service to about 59,000 customers in the Fargo and Grand Forks areas. We are very proud of the reliability of our electric service in North Dakota, which we will share in more detail later in the presentation. 109 employees work out of the three North Dakota service centers, and the company owns 500 megawatts of wind generation in the state and is the sole purchaser of another 112 megawatts from wind facilities near Glen Allen and Viridian, North Dakota. Xcel Energy is more than just substations, poles, wires, meters, and other utility infrastructure. It is a company driven by very clear objectives, values, which guide how we serve our customers and how we are positioned for the future. We want our energy to be reliable, safe, and clean, and we want to add to the quality of life and economic health of the people and the businesses we serve. In short, we want to be your preferred and trusted energy provider. Our key priorities are to improve the quality and reliability of electric service and lead the industry's transition to cleaner sources of energy and keep energy bills low. And the public developing a diverse workforce and maintaining ethical environment and providing great customer service. Recently, we were selected by Fortune magazine as one of the world's most admired companies based on the polling of some 3,800 corporate executives, directors, and analysts. And last week it was announced that for the second year in a row, Xcel Energy was named one of the world's most ethical companies by Ethisphere, a global leader in defining and advancing the standards of ethical business practices. The key to this kind of success and recognition is the dedication and commitment of our employees. We live and are active in our communities we serve, going above and beyond the expectation to ensure that our distribution system is well maintained and that power is restored quickly when a storm rolls through. With the company's support, employees volunteer their time and money helping people in our communities. Here in North Dakota, we are making an impact through our annual giving through our foundation, contributing nearly $200,000 annually to arts and culture and educational programs. I am proud to be part of the Xcel team. Our industry is changing due to a number of market forces. Technology continues to bring greater automation of the grid and newer ways to produce and use electricity. There is more demand for cleaner forms of energy, and customers are looking for ways to use energy more efficiently. Federal and state energy policies are in constant flux and not always well aligned. More and more people are subject to the impacts of harsh weather extremes, which require strengthened delivery system and points to the benefits of a more distributed energy resource. Xcel Energy has responded to these forces by maintaining and expanding a balanced and diverse energy supply portfolio. Our all-of-the-above energy mix is a key strategy towards energy resiliency and flexibility, and it mitigates the risk of price volatility that can occur as a result of fuel supply constraints, regulatory requirements, or market forces. Xcel Energy has been careful in the transition to cleaner generating sources to ensure that adequate resources are in place to address the increasing demands of our customers. In 2020, 60% of our supply was provided by emissions-free generating sources. In a broader sense, Xcel Energy has been reducing its impact on the environment in several ways, company-wide since 2005. Air emissions in sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxides are down 80%. Our power plants have produced 47% less coal ash as we replace aging coal units. And we've reduced water consumption of our electricity generation we own or purchase by 23%. At this time, I'd like to introduce Dave Cedarquist, who will touch on our electric performance in North Dakota and provide an overview of the company's request. Thank you for your time this evening.
Thanks, Tony. There are a couple of things that our customers seem to want most from Xcel Energy, and that's reliable service and affordable rates. And as Tony mentioned, our reliability in North Dakota is industry-leading. And we know that because we measure it constantly using various reliability indices. But our best overall indicator is the System Average Interruption Duration Index, or SAIDI for short. SAIDI indicates how much total time in minutes that the typical customer on our system is out of power during an entire year. To be able to compare performance from year to year and against each other, utilities will typically normalize out the impacts of severe storms or other anomalous events that we have little control over or that are outside our normal design standards. But for the past 5 years, we've averaged a SAIDI time of just over 54 minutes per customer in North Dakota. In other words, our system here was up and running 99.989% of the time that it was designed to. Our reliability in North Dakota really shines in comparison to reliability performance across the country. And here you can see that our performance has been well below that of the IEEE group of surveyed utilities, which averaged just under 109 minutes per year for the most recent 5 years. And our performance in North Dakota is even well below the upper quartile of reliability performance. And that's the dotted line there, the threshold defining the top 25% of utilities. We attribute this performance, which has improved quite a bit in the last 3 or 4 years, to some key reliability initiatives which were implemented partly by the North Dakota Commission's desire a few years ago for the company to take its reliability to a higher level. And we responded with a multifaceted plan, including the installation of automated distribution switches, replacement of underperforming underground electric cable, installing more lightning arresters and fire-resistant fiberglass crossarms on our distribution poles, and tightening our vegetation management time cycle. When it comes to affordability, we can tell customers that after adjusting for inflation, our rates today are actually a little bit lower than they were almost 30 years ago. This chart shows Xcel Energy's overall average rate every year since 1993, and it's shown in comparison to the black dashed line, which represents the Consumer Price Index. Even with the significant investments that we've made and the subsequent rate changes since our last rate application in 2012, the company's been able to keep its average annual increase at 1.9% over this time period, and that's below the average rate of inflation of 2.2% over the same 27 years. Now, as you can see here, I'm showing with the dashed line in the far upper right of the chart, when we include the full impact of the proposed rate increase in 2021 and extend the CPI index another year, the company's average rate is still slightly below what it would be had our increases over the past 3 decades followed the rate of inflation. If we take a look at how our residential rates compare across the country, we have been making this comparison to other states since 2001, when we were under a performance-based regulatory model. That plan is no longer in effect, but we continue to watch these rates closely as part of our effort to balance the costs of building and maintaining a reliable system with keeping our electricity affordable. So this chart shows the average residential electric rates for all customers in each of the 50 states and the District of Columbia. As you can see, North Dakota, shown by the green bar, ranks as the 7th lowest state. Xcel Energy's average residential rate in North Dakota, which is shown in red, is slightly below the North Dakota state average, but what these low rates actually translate into is very low average energy bills. Our North Dakota residential customers enjoy bills that are 27% below the national average. The rate history and comparisons that I've shown you here are important because they do provide some context to our pending rate request. Back in November, we filed an application to increase rates about 10.8%, just over $22 million. And just yesterday, we notified the commission that we are in the process of amending that rate request. The amendment will ultimately lower the amount of the increase to $19.2 million, or about 9.3%, and the impact to the typical residential customer would be between $7 and $7.50. And also, I'll add here that generally speaking, the increase was allocated equitably across the customer classes, with a somewhat smaller increase for our small business customer class. This increase, if approved, would be our first base rate increase since 2015. And we've been able to hold off on increasing rates for 6 years, partly because of the Commission's approval in 2014 of two new rate riders that allowed the company to recover new transmission investments and new renewable generation facilities that had previously been granted advanced determinations of prudence. In addition, in the Commission's investigation of the 2017 Federal Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the Commission approved a settlement requiring the company to issue a one-time refund of just under $10 million to North Dakota customers, but it also allowed the company to use the yearly tax savings from that new law to offset other higher utility costs and keep our rates unchanged in 2019 and 2020. North Dakota law provides for the implementation of an interim rate increase while the Commission is reviewing our application. Interim rates allow the company to recover part of its requested rate relief while the Commission is reviewing the application, conducting public input sessions like this, technical hearings, and making its final determination. The process typically takes 6 to 12 months. So a $16.4 million interim increase did go into effect on January 5th. However, again, the company will soon be filing a petition to reduce that interim charge by $3 million, and that's to reflect our amended request. And if approved, we hope to implement that lower interim rate charge as early as next month. Customers will also be due a larger interim refund should the Commission's final order in this proceeding call for a final increase that is smaller than the interim level. So why is Xcel Energy proposing this rate increase in 2021? Well, I will say that since 2013, the company has invested $10 billion in capital additions across the NSP company footprint in an effort to keep our integrated electric system maintained, well-running, safe, and effective. And while a good share of the North Dakota allocation of those costs have been offset by the increases from the last application, from the new riders, and from the tax savings, our forecasts are showing a revenue deficiency in 2021 and thereafter. I'll now address the primary elements of our $19 million rate request. So first on the list, we have made a number of investments in our distribution system, which are not being recovered in North Dakota rates. A significant upgrade to our Nordic substation in Grand Forks was finished in 2019, and we've recently completed a substantial program to locate and replace a poorly performing type of underground electric cable on our system. Along with that, we've expanded our use of the automated distribution switching technology, and we now have 48 of the Intelliruptor switches in place that work to automatically reroute power during an outage and restore large sections of the impacted customers within seconds. As I mentioned before, we've also installed more lightning arresters, fire-resistant cross arms, and our request also seeks to expand our vegetation management effort even further. We are also requesting the hiring of additional employees in North Dakota to do line and field work and project design. And the request also covers the increasing costs of contract damage prevention services, which involves the locating and marking of our utility and infrastructure that's underground. Now, a very important distribution initiative is the multi-year modernization project that we call the Advanced Grid Intelligence and Security Project, or AGIS for short. AGIS will create benefits for customers by transforming our distribution system into an intelligent, more secure, and highly automated system. With AEGIS, customers will see improved outage communication, and they'll have access to more information about their own use, energy use, and the available rate options. Now, much of this project does involve the installation of new automated meter reading technology, which the company will use to replace its existing meter equipment fleet, which is nearing the end of its service life. In all, the increases in distribution investment related and O&M costs comprise approximately $3.6 million of this request. Secondly, Xcel Energy plans to close its Sherco Units 1 and 2 coal-fired plants in 2023 and 2026. And these plants will be nearly 50 years old at that time. Their retirement has been modeled to be cost-effective, and it's consistent with the company's clean energy objectives. In our rate proposal, we're asking the Commission to approve shorter remaining lives for these units that will coincide with the scheduled retirement dates. Presently, the North Dakota approved service life for these units is through the year 2034. Adopting shorter lives will increase the annual depreciation expense in our test year by about $2.9 million. Third, new cost studies have been conducted to determine the future costs of decommissioning our nuclear plants once those units reach the end of their license and operating lives. Nuclear decommissioning costs have been collected annually from customers since the plants began producing power in the 1970s. The annual decommissioning funding level being recovered in current rates, which was approved by this commission 7 years ago, is now $2 million deficient. Fourth, we have entered into purchase power contracts with two utilities to buy electric capacity and energy. We have a long-lasting relationship with Manitoba Hydro, and we recently extended an existing power exchange contract that we have with that utility. And in 2019, we began purchasing natural gas that was generated from the Mankato Energy Center, which is owned by Southwest Generation. And while the cost of the energy from these resources is recovered through the fuel cost rider, the additional $1.9 million in purchased capacity or demand from these resources must be collected in base rates, and that amount is also included in our request. Fifth, our rate proposal also reflects about $1 million in higher information technology costs and administrative costs. More specifically, we're experiencing higher software application and development costs and also licensing fees for software and hardware, and our employee health care expenses also continue to rise. Finally, I'll mention a key factor in this rate case is the systemic decline in our electric sales in North Dakota. And we did not experience this phenomena in our when we filed our 2012 rate application, but clearly the combination of our limited service area growth opportunities in North Dakota and customer utilization of more efficient electric appliances and lighting and industrial equipment have contributed to lower energy use across the board. And that means that the company is going to be recovering less of the costs of providing electric service each year. It's said another way, the fixed costs of generating electricity and delivering it do not decrease as electric use declines. So we're not proposing any substantive changes in our rate design in this petition, but we note that utilities have begun to consider changing their rate structure so that more fixed costs are recovered through the fixed monthly charges, alleviating this declining use issue as a reason to file frequent rate increases. So this chart shows pretty clearly our North Dakota sales have been declining since our last case. Sales did reach a high point in 2014, but you will note that in every year since, we have seen a drop from the prior year. And due to this historical trend, the case that we have before the commission reflects the first time that this company has filed a rate case with a test year sales forecast lower than the previous rate application. This lower sales issue contributes about $2.7 million to our $19 million dollar deficiency. A little bit about the schedule here and what lies ahead. As I did mention previously, a rate case proceeding does take several months. And since we filed our case in November of 2020, the commission has issued a public notice of opportunity for hearing. They've reviewed the request for completeness. They've approved and we've implemented interim rates, and the process of discovery has begun in earnest. And I'll just say that discovery is the phase of this rate proceeding where the commission staff and their consultants do request additional information from the company to help them in their review of our application. So looking ahead, though, from today, interested parties do have until March 15th to formally request to intervene. The staff and other parties to the case will submit written testimony into the record probably in the June timeframe. The company will have an opportunity to reply to that in rebuttal testimony. And the commission did recently schedule formal hearings now to occur July 21st through the 23rd. After that point, the commission will meet with their staff advisors and deliberate further using the evidence that's been presented. And we would anticipate a final decision to be issued sometime in the fall with new rates going into effect in the fourth quarter this year, along with the issuance of an interim rate refund. So I'd just like to close by reminding our customers and the public of Xcel Energy's longstanding presence in North Dakota. We've been here since 1909, and we have a commitment to continue to provide the largest cities in the state with reliable electric and natural gas service. There's been a lot of change in the industry, that's for sure, but what hasn't changed is the importance of energy. Energy and the economic vitality of this state and the quality of life for each of its citizens. And so we do take very seriously our role as the state's largest energy provider. So the increase that we seek of the commission at this time will support our continued commitment to help the state of North Dakota reach its economic potential. So I thank you for your time, and we're now open to any questions and comments that you may have.
All right. Well, thank you, gentlemen. A couple of important points you mentioned. The one, and that is the formal hearing is scheduled for July 21st, 22nd, 23rd. That is our opportunity as a commission and commissioners to ask the questions that we're formulating for the company related to their request. It's a lengthy process, but it's a thorough process. So that will occur again toward the end of July, and I know we all have a number of questions we would probably like to ask now, but this is for the public to weigh in. And beyond this evening, the public still will have the opportunity. As I mentioned, we've already received quite a bit of feedback from the public, but that will continue. The public can still send emails, they can call the commission and weigh in and voice their thoughts and opinions, which, again, we more than welcome. So I don't have any other comments or questions before we turn it over to the public. Commissioners, do you?
I do not.
Okay. And do we have anyone in the queue at this point in time? We don't. Okay. For anyone listening, two ways to reach out to us. You can call the number I mentioned earlier, 701-328-4081. It's up on the screen right now if you're watching on a monitor. The other way is to dial *9, and we'll see that you wish to speak, and we'll take your comments as they come in. I would propose that we leave the lines open until 6:15, just from a practical standpoint. So, again, any individuals listening, it appears there is one. So we would welcome your thoughts if you'd like to weigh in. And for that individual, *9 would be what they would need to do. Okay. Okay, yeah. For this time of year when you have a 60-degree day. I don't know how warm it is in Fargo and Grand Forks today, but I can certainly look that up very quickly.
What is
60 degrees right now. Topped out at 63. Just another typical North Dakota winter day. Fargo is 45 right now. So there is a reason I moved west and it was 24 years ago. I thought if you can't beat them, join them. So go west, young man. At the time, I was younger. So
a lot of people are probably distracted by planning their vacation or this weekend. Now everybody missed that. Well,
it's okay.
Thank you, Jason.
Their life might go on. So how many games does the Bison have this year? Isn't it just like one? One or two?
Eight.
Plus right. One from last fall. So I think that's right.
Do they still play that team, team of nuns? Or I don't know, they have really tough competition, that's all I know. It's like some nuns from some random state, small school.
They've actually been playing up a division for their non-conference games most times.
Well, that's good.
Kansas State, teams like that. Had Oregon on the schedule, but they chickened out.
Oh.
Canceled on us.
Well, Ducks are no match for Bison.
No.
You guys going home tonight? Back? Get another day of warm. This warm weather should be heading your way soon. Yeah, that's true.
Will you be driving that van that was on the last slide?
Yeah. I was kind of intrigued by that, too. I'd love to see that.
Be nice
the customer service van. We'll see about that.
It would be nice to have that thing right now, wouldn't it?
The customer service, it said... Northern States Power customer service van. Looked like an ice cream truck. I liked the control room too. It was high tech.
For those listening or watching on the video, through video, One part of this, in terms of how the commission operates, we have advocacy staff on the commission, and their sole job is to look out for ratepayers and challenge the assumptions that the company has presented in the rate case. They work very diligently at that. We don't talk to advocacy, and if we ask questions, they probably won't answer them anyway because... of the process, but it's just another layer that is in place, and it's a good layer. And of course, we're also as commissioners, and then we have advisory staff as well, looking at essentially many of the same things. But we have analysts that are very talented, so they're going through the numbers and pouring through the request as well. And in addition to that, we hire a consulting group who are also experts in this type of work that go through the application and offer some excellent opinions that we utilize as well in the decision-making process. So as I mentioned, it's a very thorough process. It's very detailed, time-intensive, but we want to get it right. And I think a recent quote I had in an article, the role of the commission is to balance reliability, affordability with cost of service. So we're looking at all of those elements. And again, many of the questions we have will be answered when we get into the formal hearing itself, because then we can direct them at the company and the company representatives. So it's a very lengthy, again, process, but it's a very important process. And then once the formal hearing is concluded, then we will gather. We call them work sessions. They're announced to the public because the three commissioners cannot meet on any decision-making related work without notifying the public. Really about the only thing the commission can discuss, or the commissioners, would be scheduling. But we can't discuss specific cases, information related to a case, unless we notify the public. So everyone is aware that we're going to meet, and then they have access to watching, hearing what we have to say when we're going through those different processes. So it's very transparent, as it should be, and very important work as well. And Commissioner Crispin, with the warm weather, if I'm going to do a home project, what do I remember to do again?
Well, by all means, remember to call 811 before you dig. It can save you some money by not damaging something and potentially getting a penalty from this agency. But more importantly, it can save your life. It is a serious thing, especially when you get into the gas or electric things. It's not like cutting something and it's only the financial consequences. Like I say, it can be life or death. And as we like to say here, it's far better to call 811 before you dig than having to call 911 after you dig. So keep that in mind as potentially the ground starts opening up here and those kinds of projects become more prevalent.
It's a very, very easy process. I've called for a number of tickets before, and you call to make a call to North Dakota One Call, the 811 organization, and your lines will be marked within 48 hours. Whether it's a residential lot, planting trees, putting in a mailbox fence, a mailbox post, a fence post, etc. So really important to do that. And since we need the moisture, I can almost guarantee that if I talk about doing some work out at the ranch and putting in fencing or corrals, and it's so nice, I think I could probably start that in a few weeks, we'll get the moisture. Invariably, it will come on a Saturday and a Sunday. And it's always welcome. It always does.
Gosh, we really need rain. It is so dry. Terrible. Is it this dry in that valley? No, you guys still have small snow. Yeah. Was it weird to come here and see all the grass?
It was really a beautiful drive this morning. It was fantastic to see the sun.
Yeah.
It just looked like spring out there.
When did the snow disappear? Like,
I'd say Jamestown-ish area, or even before. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was just...
I still saw some fish houses
on
the lakes
nearby. Oh, in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Minnesota, they have to... They were supposed to be off at the end of February. Is that how they work it over there?
I thought it was March.
Jeez, February seems early. But I'm in a spring like this. Of this warm of weather?
Yeah, it takes a long time. Especially after 2 weeks of 20 below, they might not be driving on it. But
I will be headed west to the ranch on Saturday to do some work. But it would be very tempting to go ice fishing. 60-degree weather, it would just be beautiful. And there is not as much ice as there'd normally be because it's been a warm winter overall. Not too far off, and the shorelines deteriorate first.
Then you can't get out there, so.
Right.
I would think some of the ice out, though, further kind of thickened a couple of weeks ago when we had, you know, a pretty significant cold snap. But interestingly, at church on Sunday, I talked to a neighbor, and I guess I hadn't really thought it through before I commented and said, I imagine, you know, this is going to really be thick frost now with that cold spell and really no snow on the ground. And he said he had done some project. He didn't say whether he had called 811 first, but he said he had done some work outside in the dirt. And he said, frankly, there isn't hardly any frost because it's too dry to freeze.
Oh, there's no moisture in the ground.
Isn't that
yikes?
A discouraging thought.
Wow.
Really?
Wow. Yeek. And do they keep them? Mm. Is that good? Pickled northern? Isn't it? How
Absolutely.
Do they get rid of the bones?
Mm. Well, you can get the bones out.
Really? I thought it was so bony, it was really hard.
And I think on the smaller ones, the vinegar solution will actually dissolve the bones on some smaller ones. But you can get they're called Y bones. You have the rib bones and the Y bones, but sure, you can get those out.
Hmm. So is it like pickled herring? I mean, does it taste the same as like?
It's similar. I would say similar.
I mean, once you pickle something, it's. Tastes like pickles.
And for the record, for those listening, this would not be a topic of conversation on a work session.
No.
Typically, but we're just trying to pass the time. And we have just a few minutes left, so anyone that wishes to weigh in, again, we would more than welcome that. And you can dial the number on the screen or press *9 on your telephone, and we will be able to hear from you.
Are you guys working in the office? Is the office open in Fargo? Is anybody there?
Fields.
Okay. Mm. When do you expect that to change?
Well, there hasn't been a real definitive, I think, by fall.
Wow. Well, yeah, it's up to the employees.
Yeah. It has changed.
I've seen my office doors, Mark, has been moved just a lot of his office.
Wow. So do you guys care? Do you want to work from home?
I do now want to go a day or two.
Yeah.
Senior day.
Yeah. People... It's like,
yep.
Well, yeah, that's a tough time to come on and clean Mark's office. Wow, that's interesting. Well, I'm glad we're back in the office. I like it.
Yeah, very much so.
There's some value to the telecommuting and having that option available, and we've certainly got innovative in how we can do things, which is nice. But oh my gosh, that never would have happened. Never, I don't think. Just so that's good. I don't think it'll go back.
On another note, you know, my favorite college football team when the Bison aren't playing. UND is leading. I don't know why they're playing on Thursday night instead of the weekend, but it's almost halftime and they're leading 7-3. So happy about that.
Great. Maybe they'll have a better season
kind of
this year.
And stunning some people in FCS this year. She didn't say.
I believe Julie said my wife just a team of nuns.
That's NDS usually.
I believe that if I'm just going from it, I believe the team that they're playing was like not one of the real low ranked teams out of that conference either. I mean, I think like six of them were in the top 20, and it was, you know, one of those mid level ones. So it's not one of the weakling teams.
Well, and then they beat the team that kind of
Yeah.
Oh.
They're for real. Go Bobby Swaggart.
Nice. Is it this year?
I thought they were on the schedule.
I thought so too, but I haven't looked ahead really.
Well, that would be exciting. I wonder if they'll have limited attendance. Well,
I think we can.
Mr. Crosses, are we ready to wrap it up?
I think we can close things down.
And listeners.
All right.
Okay, well, for those who were tuning in, thank you so much for doing that. Thank you again to the company. And
yep, thanks, everybody. I hope that folks who did listen got some good information, and stay tuned. We'll be dealing a lot with this in July. All right, thanks, everyone.